Well, we started a series last week called Mind Wars, because how many of you know that most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind, right? Most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind. So I wanted to just start today by telling you, I'm going to tell you a really dumb thing that I did, okay? Really, really embarrassing story. I don't know why, just this is what happens when you talk a lot. I want to tell you a story. When I was a youth pastor, I'd only been in ministry about a year, so I was really new and young and all that. And I don't come from, like, you know, a long line of pastors or anything. Most of my family's unsaved, and, you know, so I didn't have all of that background. So I don't know what I'm doing. And we have this pastor's breakfast that our area did, and there was a small group of pastors, and I think I was the only one there that wasn't like a lead pastor. And we're sitting there for breakfast, and, you know, it's a whatever, sleepy Tuesday morning, and we're all ordering, and I order something. I think I ordered something like, you know, oatmeal and fruit, you know, something like that. And this other pastor, this pastor was there, he thought that was funny, and he decided to make fun of me. And so he said something like, you know, what are you ordering, girly food? He's just kind of making fun of me, you know. I don't know why. I don't know why that didn't sit right with me. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know anything. All I know is I popped off back at him in about the dumbest way you could. And I'm embarrassed to even tell you this. And trust me, since then I've gotten saved and I'm much better off before I tell you what I said. But I said to him, you think this is girl, because he was ordering, you know, country ham and bacon and grits and gravy and eggs. And I said, you think this is girly food? We'll see who's got the girly food when you're choking of a heart attack because you keep choking this greasy food down your face. I did not write the book on how to win friends and influence people. You know what I'm saying? They should have tossed me out in the street. I don't even know. And I can tell you, it was quiet for a while. Like, nobody said anything. We just sat and stared at our food and kind of pushed it around in the bowl. It was so embarrassing and so dumb. And I can't tell you how many times through the years I've thought back on that moment and went, how did I even make it? How did I even, how am I even alive? How did I, you know, get dressed this morning and drive a car? How did anything good happen in my life? You ever done anything dumb? Why is it sometimes we act so irrational? I want to try to answer that question. I think it's because we have not developed new pathways in our mind. And so even though there's sometimes good things we want to do, we don't do them because the resources we have to draw off of are the old pathways. And so on that day, I was drawing off an old pathway. That's how I used to talk to people. You don't want to talk to people like that. You would think 4 years of Bible school would fix that. It does not. It does not. It takes some other things. But it's because we draw off the old pathways and we haven't developed new pathways yet to help us understand and do the good things that we want to do. So sometimes in our heart we say, I want to be nice to my spouse, but what do? We end up yelling. Or we say, I'm going to get on a really good budget, I'm going to save money, and then we end up going shopping. Or we say, you know, I'm really going to trust God, man. I got this big problem, I'm going to trust God. But instead we worry and we worry and we worry and we worry. Why is it that sometimes we so bad want to do one thing, but we decide to do something different? It's because we haven't created the neural pathways to support the good things that we want to do. Our hearts want to do good, but our mind defaults back to these old ways of thinking, these old ways of talking, and what you put in your brain actually shapes it. So I want you to imagine for a minute, most of us have had this experience. You see a young mother with a baby, and the mother gets right in the baby's face and, you know, starts to talk, goo goo, oh, aren't you cute, and goo, you know, all this, you know, high pitch and all these unintelligible syllables. And the little baby starts to smile, and when the baby smiles, oh, look at that. And you know what the baby just learned? You know what the neural pathway that was just created in the baby's mind? Smiling good. And so they'll smile again. You take a little baby and they put their hand on a hot stove. Ah! What's the neural pathway that's created in the mind? Stove bad. What happens? The baby wants a toy. The baby wants a toy. Mom says, no, you're not going to get the toy. The baby starts to cry. And the mother gives in and gives the toy. What does the baby learn? What's the neural pathway? Crying good. Crying gets toys. Right? Because that's the neural pathway that's been created through the mind. So when you think a thought, you create a new pathway. And as you think it again and again and again, the pathway gets bigger and stronger and it becomes more dominant. And scientists actually call it a thought tree. In other words, it goes beyond a pathway and it grows and begins to develop a root system inside your mind, which is extremely good news when you're thinking on the truth. It's incredible news, but it is devastatingly horrible news if you're thinking on toxic things and wrong thoughts and negative thoughts and destructive thoughts and lies and things that were sent into your life to tear you down. Why do we behave so irrationally? Because we're using old pathways because we haven't developed new ones yet. So what did we learn last week? Let me review a little bit from last week to catch us up. There's a war in our mind, and most of the battles in our life are won or lost in the mind. We talked about 2 Corinthians 10 that says we have spiritual weapons that God has given us that have divine power to demolish every thought. Now, why is every thought important? Because your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. What direction is your life going? You don't have to wonder. The mind is the steering wheel of your life. What you're thinking about the most is where you're headed. So what goes into your mind comes out into your life. You cannot have a negative mind and have a positive life. You cannot control your actions if you don't control your thoughts. And so the war is very much in the mind. Now the Bible has an antidote, a solution. The Bible describes it this way: be transformed from within by a new way of thinking. It's called renewing your mind. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to give you a mind renewal test, okay? This test is not designed to figure out if your mind's already renewed. It's a test to help you figure out, is your mind currently being renewed? All right, so here it is. Very simple. It's one question. Here it is. What is God teaching you now? If in 3 or 4 minutes you can't come up with one thing, not even one thing, that God is teaching you now, an insight, a thought, a truth that is resonating with you, a shift in your mind or heart or pattern, if you can't come up with one thing in 3 or 4 minutes, it's probably because your mind is not being renewed. So, the thing that we said last week is one of the challenges we have is we live in a time where our minds are overworked, but they're spiritually passive, and we have a wide open front door, and we allow any and everything to come in. But if God's not teaching you, if you're not hearing, reading, seeing anything that will renew your mind, then your mind's probably not being renewed. So how do you train your mind? Well, we think about training our dog. We think about training our body. But we probably don't think much about training our mind. It's a lot like training your body. And if you know anything about that, you know training your body doesn't just have to do with what you do with it. In other words, you work out, you stretch, you exercise, you run, whatever. That's part of training your body, but another part and a big part of training your body is what you put in it. Like what kind of food do you put in it? What kind of resources do you put in it? What kind of water or diet? We've heard this, I mean, how long have you heard this? All your life. Exercise and good diet, exercise and diet, exercise and diet, right? So training the mind is about what you put in it, because what you put in it is either going to lead you the right way or it's going to lead you the wrong way. Now, I want to read a verse from Philippians 4, but before I do, I want to give you the context, okay? Paul the apostle had been put in prison for preaching the gospel. Like, that was his crime. His crime was he was teaching people about Jesus. Isn't that terrible? And so they put him in prison. And furthermore, he was awaiting trial, and he didn't know what the outcome of the trial would be. He didn't know if he would be executed. He didn't know if he would be punished. He didn't know if he might be released. He didn't know what was going to happen, but what he did know is the founder of the movement he was in was crucified to death. He did know that. And so he didn't know what the outcome was going to be. And so let's listen to what he wrote under those circumstances, Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Look at this phrase. Man, if I can have you grab one thing today, it would be this phrase. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. What did he say? Fix your thoughts. I'm going to meditate on your teaching. I'm going to meditate on your principles. I'm going to meditate on the commands and the instruction and the law of God. Psalm 143:5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. Remember a minute ago how we were all standing and saying, oh, God's good and God's going to do good things in our lives. Really, what? What good thing has he done in your life? Meditate on that. What good things has God done in creation? Man, you walk outside and you see how all this rain has come and now how everything's getting green and nourished and it looks fresh again. And we say, God, I meditate on what you've made in creation. This is the act of your hand. You created everything. What does this verse say? I meditate on your works. I meditate on your word. There's a difference in what we consider traditional Eastern meditation and Christian meditation, and I just want to highlight it for you this morning. Eastern meditation is emptying your mind. Christian meditation is filling your mind with truth. And that's what Paul's saying. Fill your mind. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is beautiful, what is true, what is honorable, what is pure. And so what we're trying to do when we meditate on the truth is we're trying to undo the pathways that have trained us to teach that's trained us to believe untrue things. And we want to focus on what's true. So Philippians says, fix your mind on what's true. I don't know about you, but my mind, when it drifts toward the wrong things. Any of your minds drift the right way? Mine doesn't. Mine drifts toward worry or insecurity or fear or worst case scenarios or the apocalypse is coming. Or, you know, things can't get worse. My mind drifts the wrong direction, or it drifts toward the lie that the enemy's been telling me about myself my whole life. That's where my mind drifts when it drifts. But Paul says, meditate on the truth and focus. Train your mind. Fix your thoughts. Train your mind on what is true. So how do you overcome a stronghold, a thought tree? A negative thought tree that's been planted in your mind for a long time. How do you overcome it? It's not easy. Bad thoughts aren't just overcome because you memorize a verse or you say it twice or you come and pray. Negative thoughts don't just go away. You have to create new neural pathways. And you have to walk down those pathways again and again and again. It's not going to work instantly. It takes time and it takes consistency. And you can't undo 10 years of wrong pathways by one decision. It's a process. But it is a game changer in embracing the truth. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to summarize some of what we talked about last week, but I'm going to give you a deeper layer of teaching on it today, okay? Here we go. Number one, name the biggest stronghold that's holding you back. We talked about that last week. What is the top lie? You can't attack all 38 at one time. What's the top thing that's holding you back? What's the top negative thought that's holding you back? Maybe you grew up in a family that was bad with money, so you think, I'm in debt, I'm always going to be in debt, I'm never going to get out of debt, I'm never going to be good with money. Or maybe you say, I can't overcome this addiction, or I'm never going to be healthy, or I'm never going to be close to God, or I've worked hard all my life, and I never have gotten ahead, and I hate my job, and I'm never going to have a meaningful job. What is that lie? Now, it may take some effort, because I don't know if you know this, the mind's a busy place. 30,000 thoughts go through your mind every day. 30,000 thoughts. So you're not going to just go into Grand Central Station and jam a new thought in there, and it's just gonna fix it all. It may take prayer and reflection. And let me just say this to you. If you say, I don't even know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? The number one lie, the number one stronghold, the number one wrong thought. I don't even know what you're talking about. Great. You have a friend called the Holy Spirit, who the Bible says will lead you into all truth. And you can reach out and you can ask him and you can say, Holy Spirit, I don't even know what this means. I don't know what it's doing. I know I have conflict in my life. I know I have trouble in my life. I know I have these hindrances in my life. I don't know the deeper reality where they come from. You have a friend named the Holy Spirit, and you turn to him and say, Holy Spirit, would you open my eyes and show me? Show me the little tree in my mind. Show me the pathway. Show me the thought. Show me the thing that the enemy tried to insert in my life and childhood that's holding me back now. Pull back the curtain and show me below the surface of the water what is holding me back. And you know what he'll do? He will. He absolutely will. It might not come in that second. It might not come in that moment. It might not come that day. But if you keep seeking him, he will open your heart and mind and eyes, and he will put his finger on the thing that is holding you back. He'll show it to you. So it may take some prayer, and it may take some reflection. But listen, when I tell you this, please believe me, I promise you it'll be worth it. If you can find the belief that is robbing you of the life that God wants you to have, it will change your life. It might take some help. You might even have some people in your life. You say, hey, you know me pretty well. Help me understand this. So name the dominant stronghold. Number two, find the truth in God's word that demolishes that stronghold. Look, this is not as hard as it sounds. I didn't go to Bible school. I've never even read the whole Bible. I don't know where to find stuff like that. Listen, I kid you not. Google it. I'm telling you, Google, what does the Bible say about, it has to start with that. I don't want to know what the latest thing is. What does the Bible say about pride, about lust, about rejection, about insecurity, about shame, about whatever? And you know what will happen? It will populate a list of 10 to 50 to maybe 100 verses. And you just start to feast. You just start to read those verses one at a time and let them minister to you. And just read them and let them minister to you. And you know what's going to happen? One or two of them, or maybe more, maybe you'll see a pattern across several of them. You say, man, that seems to say that, and that says it, and that says it. Or maybe there'll be one or two of them that'll just stick out to you. And you say, man, that somehow that touches my heart. Somehow that resonates with me in such a deep and powerful way. Great. When you find that truth, let it minister you. Now, here's number three. Here's the new, the deeper part. Using the Bible, write out a statement that demolishes that stronghold. Now, look, what I'm giving you to do is not easy. It's not a vitamin. It's not a pill. It's not a silver bullet. It's not magic. You're not going to do this one time, and it's just going to change your whole life. It does take effort. It does take focus. But if you will use the Bible and write a statement that demolishes that stronghold and that lie in your life, you will begin to see radical change. Let me give you an example. Many, many years ago in New Guinea, there were a lot of tribes that used to have these rituals where they would get around the campfire and have this, you know, celebration or ritual or whatever, and they would do these dances and work themselves up in a frenzy around the fire in their village. And then when the frenzy got to the peak, they would start to sing what they call murder songs. And they would start to shout out the name of the person they want to kill. You imagine how that would be to sit around the fire and hear your name. Fred! You're like, oh, no. Oh, you know, oh, it's not good. He gone, you know. Imagine, but they're yelling out, usually from rivaling tribes, but they would yell out the name of the person they wanted to kill. Something very interesting happened as missionaries entered that part of the world and started to share the gospel, and some of those tribal people came to faith in Jesus. You know what started to happen? They kept the ritual, and they would dance around the fire as believers in Jesus, and they would still sing murder songs. But when they sang murder songs and they came to the part where they called the name of the person out they wanted to kill, they started instead to call the name of the sin out that they wanted God to kill in them. Ooh. You know why? Their minds had been taken captive by Christ and brought into obedience to his word. And here's what I'm just saying to you. You have to have a plan to kill the thoughts in your mind that are killing your life. And if you don't have a plan, they will keep destroying and tearing down and working against everything God's trying to do in your life. And so it bottlenecks right here in our mind. As I've said, the battle is won or lost in the mind. But we have to understand, we're in a war. We're in a war. Have you trained your mind for war? So write a statement, think it, confess it until you believe it, and God will begin to renew your mind. So let me give you a few examples, okay? Because this might be a strange sounding thing to do, but let me give you a few examples of how it might sound. Let's say you're struggling to know God's will. So maybe what you do is you write a statement like this. My life belongs to God. Daily I seek him, and daily he directs my steps. I know his voice, and he leads me to his perfect will. Can you imagine if you got up every morning and said that? That'll start to change something, won't it? All right, what about this? Maybe you lack confidence. My confidence is in Christ and Christ alone, because his spirit lives within me. I can do everything he calls me to do. Start the day with that. Rather than, nothing good's going to happen. I can't believe this. You know what I'm saying? All right, what about this? You're fighting lustful thoughts. I am not a slave to lustful thoughts because God has purified my mind. I will honor him with my eyes and thoughts. My God is faithful. Even if I'm tempted, he'll always give me a way out. And you make that statement every day. And in a media age, man, that's a important one right there. Find comfort in food. When I'm stressed, I turn to God, not food. I come to Jesus because he's what I need. In him, I find strength, joy, and comfort. Can you imagine rerouting your mind like that? Battling worry. Because of Christ, I'm not anxious about anything. I cast my cares on God because he cares for me. I have the peace of God dwelling in my heart and ruling in my mind. Many years ago, I got the opportunity to meet Bill Bright. You may not know that name. He's one of the most impactful Christian leaders in the history of the world. Hundreds of thousands, millions of people have come to faith because of his work. I had an unbelievable privilege of meeting with him, having breakfast with him, with a small group of people. This time, I did not comment on the food. I just want you to know that. I'd learned a little bit. I had breakfast with him. We got to tour. At that time, it was called Campus Crusade for Christ. We got to tour the headquarters, and we got to go see his office. And in this massive, giant building, international headquarters of the world, he had this little office in the back. That was his office. And the tour guide's taking us around and explaining things. And so before we left, she said, do you have any questions? And I said, well, yeah, I have a question. I saw on his desk, there was a little plaque, just an old, simple wooden plaque that said, I am not a grasshopper. And I said, what is that? Why would Bill Bright have a block of wood on his desk that says, I'm not a grasshopper? She said, it comes from the story of the spies that were sent into the promised land. And when they went into the promised land, they saw giants. And in their eyes, they thought of themselves as grasshoppers. Even though God had promised them the land, they were intimidated by the resistance, by the people who stood against them, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers. And Bill Bright wanted to make sure he always saw himself the way God saw him, not the way he saw himself. And so every day he would come and sit at his desk and read, I am not a grasshopper. Can I just tell you something? There's some of you in your life, you're not receiving the promises of God, and it's not because he hasn't promised it. It's because of how you see yourself. You see yourself as a grasshopper. But God has said, you're not a grasshopper. You're a son or you're a daughter of the living God. And the reason you haven't received, the reason you don't walk in the promise has nothing to do with God's promise. It has everything to do with how you see yourself. And so how you see yourself really matters. When I was a young believer, I didn't know all of this. I was a teenager. And I knew that there were inner conflicts and unresolved parts of my life, and I didn't know what to do about them. But and I don't even know where I heard about this chapter of the Bible, Ephesians chapter 6. But I knew that I wanted more from God. I wanted him to do more in my life. I just didn't know how to define it. And so I heard about Ephesians chapter 6, the section that says, take on the whole armor of God that you may be prepared to withstand the attack of the devil on the day of temptation. So I thought, well, I need that. So every morning for, it was a year and a half to 2 years, every day when I'd get up and get ready, I would take on the whole armor of God. And I thought it was something spiritual, like I was actually taking a piece of equipment on. And every morning I'd say, this morning I take on the helmet of salvation because I want my mind to be right. I want my mind to be redeemed. I prepare my feet with the gospel of peace because I want to take the gospel everywhere that I go and I want to be a person of peace. And I take on the chest plate of righteousness because I want my heart to be protected from the things the enemy wants to put in it. And I put on the belt of truth because I want to know the truth and I want to walk in the truth. And I take the shield of faith because I want to be able to quench every attack the enemy's going to bring at me today. And I take the sword of the Spirit because I want to be an effective child of God. And I did that every day. And you know, I didn't know what I was doing. You know what I was doing? I was renewing my mind. I was renewing my mind and I was preparing my mind for the day. And I was setting a spiritual foundation for the day. And I'm telling you, it had a profound impact on my life. And so what do? Take a verse. Maybe for you it's a scripture. Maybe it's a plaque that says, I'm not a grasshopper. Maybe it's the whole armor of God. Maybe it's a verse. Maybe it's a passage. Maybe it's a statement. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your desk. Put it on a screensaver on your laptop. Put it on your phone. Is a screensaver there? Write it, confess it, meditate on it, and create new pathways so that you can win the war. So that you can win the war. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to summarize what we've been doing. I want to summarize kind of what we've said today, because I want to lead us to an important point this morning before we leave. Your life is going in the direction of your strongest thoughts. If you don't take control of your mind, you'll never take control of your actions. And what I'm just suggesting to you today is it's time to take your thought life back. Or maybe part of your thought life. It's time to take your thought life back. It's time to fix your thoughts on what is beautiful, on what is honorable, on what is true. How do you do that? Name the stronghold. Name the stronghold. Find the truth that demolishes that stronghold. write it, think it, quote it, confess it, memorize it, get up every day, put it on the rearview mirror of your car and say it on your way to work. Say it every day. Say it every day. Memorize it every day. And as you do, step by step, your mind's going to get renewed because you're creating a new pathway and you're tearing down old pathways. And that truth will demolish the lie that the enemy has tried to put in your mind. You know, about twice a week, I do this. Because this past year has been a difficult year for me, in January, I committed to the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to read the entire book of Psalms. So I've made it to about, I'm lost somewhere in Psalm 119. It'll take you a while to get through there. But what I would do is I generally read a psalm a day. And as I wake up, I read that psalm because Psalms is the width of human emotion. It has it all. And so I said, Lord, I want to read everything you have to say about human emotion, and I want to process all of my emotions, and I want to surrender them to you fully. And so every day I'll get up, and about twice a week, I'll come to a psalm, and I'll say, all right, Lord, this verse, this truth, this thought, and I'll take it in, and I'll quote it, and I'll meditate on it, and I'll confess it, and I'll say, Lord, renew my mind today. Renew my mind. I don't want to think this. I want to think this. God, I don't want to think about you this way. I want to think about you this way. I don't want to think about myself like this. I want to think about myself like this. And I say, God, change my mind. Renew my mind. Give me a new mind. Give me a new pathway. Give me a new thought. And I've done that since January. Can I tell you? It makes such a big difference. Man, you laugh, you cry, you worship, you confront some things. But what it's doing is renewing your mind. Man, you've got to take hold of your thought life, or it'll take hold of you. Romans says, we will not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but will be transformed from within by a new way of thinking. You're not going to win the mental war by being smarter. You're not going to win the mental war by working harder. You're going to win the mental war by renewing your mind. It has to do with what you put in it. You know what the greatest weapon that God ever gave you to win the war in your mind? It's truth. The truth of Jesus, because the Word says, you will know the truth. If you hold to the truth will set you free. We're at war. Are you trained? This morning, I wrote a declaration for us that I want to read. I want to make a declaration over us today, okay? And I want to declare some things that are true. I've written some statements that are true. I've written some statements from the Word that are true. And I want to declare them, and I want to speak them over my life and your life and your life online. I want to speak them over us. Are you ready? Do you want to hear that? Would you just say, my mind is open. My heart is open. I'm ready to receive. Here we go. You are not an orphan. For every believer in the room, for every believer online, this is true. You are not an orphan. You are a son. You are a daughter of God. You've been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and washed on the inside. You are not your past. You are not what you did. You are who God says you are. You've been adopted, chosen, justified, redeemed, and forgiven. You are the bride of Christ and a living stone in His temple. You've been seated with Christ in heavenly places. You've been given everything you need in Jesus to live a godly life. God has given you spiritual weapons. They have divine power to demolish every lie and every stronghold of the devil. You are a royal priesthood and a holy nation. You have a purpose, you have a ministry, and you've been called to hope in Jesus Christ. Wait, I'm not done. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Worry is not your master. God has given you peace that cannot be explained. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside you, and from inside you will flow rivers of living water. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. Not death, not demons, not the present, not the past, not the future. No power on earth can separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Why does it matter? Because the battle is won or lost in your mind. Come on.